The Sefer is on page Mem Vav. Last week we were zeicha to begin with the author's and Mechaber's introduction to the inyan of Ahavas Hashem, to the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, of loving Hashem as Baruch. That for most of us, if not all of us, as I said last week, we consider something which is beyond our grasp, beyond our reach. It's not anything that we could ever dream of. So halavai, we should just keep the mitzvahs and stay away from aveiros. And yet, Ahavas Hashem, love of Hashem, is a mitzvah from the Torah. It's something that every single time that we say Shema, we remember, we remind ourselves that Hashem is Baruch, wants us and encourages us to love Him. So we don't know what that means. And for those who were here last year, we were zeichet to learn from the writings of this tzaddik, the author of Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, this particular sefer that's called Shmita Las. So we're going to try to understand on our level how people like ourselves can enter into the amazing world of Ahavas Hashem, the taste of Ahavas Hashem, of love of Hashem, what that means. So on page Mem Vav, which says, "Ube'emes Amru b'Gemara, Ube'emes Amru b'Gemara b'Avabas, so Amru Rava, Hanedam Yin Shi'achavre Kichavre Yad v'Misusa." There's an expression that we have in the Gemara in slightly different ways each time, but we have an expression from Chazal that, if we would loosely translate it to English, would mean, a chavrusa misusa means, if I don't have a friend, without friendship, I'd rather die. Without a chaver, misusa means death. Why it's kechavriyav, it's not important for right now. The basic saying of Chazal, a chavrusa misusa, means that in a person's life, friendship is so crucial, it's so important, that in the absence of friendship, a person feels, I would rather die. In the absence of companionship or friendship, a person can't go on. V'sibas hadvarim. Why is this? Hashem is Baruch made us in such a way. Hein mipnei atzarech hanafshi shel ha'adam shlo yeh boidei. That there is this great and deep need of the soul for companionship. To be alone is terrible. This deep need to share his life with somebody else, with friends, a husband, a wife, but to have companionship. Or at least to have one chaver, to at least have one friend, but not to be, God forbid, by oneself. Zui tzuras hayetziru. This isn't for any other reason than HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in such a way. Lo tov hayos ha'adam levado means that it is not good for man to be alone. And the Baruch Shalom created Adam HaRishon by himself, so that there should be that, for that brief moment, that horrible feeling of emptiness and loneliness. And then Hashem Yisbarach gave him his wife, his best friend, Chava. But that feeling of Lo Tov Hayos HaAdam Levado, which the Torah defines as Lo Tov, as the opposite of goodness, is Hayos HaAdam Levado, is being by oneself, is being alone. HaAdam Muchrach L'Tzeves. Man must have companionship. Tzeves means a chaver. The word mitzvah means to be attached. Tzeves means a group of people who are attached to each other, or at least one person, but to have it tzeves. Ha'adam muchach l'tzeves sheyish she'ima v'yishatfei b'havayis chayev. A person must have a tzeves, he must have companionship to spend his life with and to share the events of his life. Ulam Ein zu asiba yechidu l'tzarech b'chaver. That's not the only reason that a person needs a friend to satisfy that deep emotional need, that feeling of loneliness or emptiness. That's not the only reason, but there's a very practical reason, of course. That each one helps the other. Ish esre'eyu yahazoyru. That it's impossible for a person to manage by himself. On a very simple and practical level, a person can't manage by himself. So the Baruch Shalom created man in such a way that there should be this shituf pu'ula, that there should be this joining together, joining of forces. Because ish esre'eyu yahazoyru, that each one should help the other. And each one should say to the other one, chazak, to give strength to the other, to mechazak the other person. So Baruch Shalom made us in such a way. And people have spent a tremendous amount of time thinking about this and wondering about this and trying to solve this. And people are thinking of all kinds of strange ways to solve it. In modern society, people can sit in front of machines or in front of a pet, and that to believe that somehow through that companionship that the deeper loneliness is being addressed. But the Baruch Shalom made man in such a way, if loy toiv heyos adam levada. Adam kasha loy lehismaydeinim kol nisyonis achayim levada. It is very difficult for a person to contend with all of the tests, all of the difficulties of life by himself. Each and every one of us can think, God forbid, what would that be like? We can't even imagine what that would be like. To feel that you're completely and totally alone, not to have anybody. You know that it's unbearable even for the shortest time. It would not masig what that is, and people that had to live that way, yidden that had to be in such situations. It's very, very hard to contend with the nisyonos, with the tests and the difficulties of life by oneself. And you know that when you have a dear friend, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, someone that you could share your feelings with, your fears and so on, you know that brings the biggest yeshua to a person. Achaim leim ben nisyonos v'koshim. Life is filled with difficulties and with tests. Hein koshim begashmius. There are physical difficulties, all types of challenges just to be able to manage physically. Vein koshim beruchnius. And there are difficulties, tremendous difficulties in ruchnius. Is that there's spiritual challenges and difficulties. And a person needs a tremendous amount of kaychas in order to be able to withstand all of the difficulties and the tests of life. As the Sfarim say, that each person has to go through the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. It's not just Avraham Avinu. But we don't understand what that means. We can't remember a time that any one of us was asked to make an akedah, to bring up a child, God forbid, to sacrifice a child. But the Sfarim HaKadosh tell us that on a ruchnis dikka level, that on some level, that each and every person has to go through the 10 nisyonos, the difficulties, the trials of Avraham Avinu, and all of life is filled with nisyonos. Ulevad kashalai la'adam laseis zois al kseifav. And by oneself alone, it is very, very hard to carry that on your shoulders. Now, there's a famous maisa I told here a few times over the years. There's a maisa from the tzaddik of Yitzhak Vurka, that there was a yid that came to Yitzhak Vurka. He traveled from far away to come to the tzaddik. He was having a terrible problem with a child that was very sick at home, and he schlepped a long way to come to Yitzhak Vurka. And Yitzhak was the gentlest and the kindest tzaddik. And he came to Yitzhak Vurka and he gave him the kvittel with the name and with the problem. And Yitzhak for a long time was looking at it, and he closed his eyes and he was going, you know, wherever he could go. And when he came back to this world, Yitzhak said, "I'm sorry, there's nothing I could do for you. I can't help you." And the man said, "But my wife told me that you could help." And he said, "I'm not Hashem Israel, I can't help you. I went wherever I was allowed to go and I couldn't find anything for you to help your child. I'm sorry." So the man had no choice, and he went outside and he went looking by the station for a wagon that was heading back in the direction of his village. And he was already thinking that, who knows, by the time he gets home, that they'll already be sitting Shiva, God forbid, for the child. So as the wagon begins to pull away, so all of a sudden they see that Rav Yitzchak Vurka is coming and chasing after the wagon. And the tzaddik, and they stop, and Rav Yitzchak Vurka comes there, and he says to the Siyid, I want to apologize to you. So the man said, Rebbe, you don't thought, you already said you're sorry. I understand, you're right. I thought you could help. You can't. You're not the Rabbi Shalom, so you can't. There's nothing to apologize for. So Rav Yitzchak Vurka says, that's not why I'm apologizing, because I can't help you. But what I'm apologizing for is that when you came and you shared your tzar, your anguish with me, how come I didn't even cry with you? I didn't cry. I just spoke to you in such a way, and I didn't cry with you. And Rav Yitzchak Vurka held him, and the two of them sat for a long time. They were crying. Anyway, the Yid went, and when he arrived in the town, so everybody was running and telling him that the child as well, and his son and the wife, they all came to tell him there was a big issue. And everybody, of course, knows the end of the story is that he asked, when did it take a turn for the better? When did the child's fever break? It was exactly that moment that Rav Yitzchak Vurka was hugging him on the wagon. And Rav Yitzchak Vurka said, the tzaddikim say from that ma'aseh of Yitzchak Vurka, we learn from the ma'aseh that how precious friendship is, that even if you don't have an answer, you can't help. Many times we don't have an answer. A friend comes to us, we don't have what to say, we don't know what to do. But the fact that the person has someone to share his tzar with, his daig, his worries, with that itself, we learn from the ma'aseh, could bring a big issue. Because the Yeshua was the moment that Rabbi Yitzchak said, I care. And Rabbi Yitzchak cried together with that year. That was the Ischalt of the Gula, the beginning of the redemption of that child. Everybody needs this. It's very hard for a person to carry on his own shoulders by himself any difficulty. Only when you have a partner that gives you encouragement. He encourages you. He lifts your spirits. And gives you chizik. That you shouldn't become overwhelmed with all of the ta'apuchai sachayim, with all of the commotions of life, with all of the upheavals of life. Rak oz yuchal harzik mam. That's the only way that we can make it. It's very hard to make it through life without a real friend. A chaver amiti, it's not so poshut. It's not so easy. The tzaddik here is not talking about acquaintances. People have many, many acquaintances, nice people, and they might officially be called friends and so on, and they're good people. But to have mamish a person like this, a yedid nefesh mamish, a friend who you could share the deepest part of yourself with, it's very hard to find such a person. It's very hard to find a true friend. But a friend who understands and who is mat'im, a person who not only understands but he's able to pick up on the nuances of who you are and what you need, and he's mat'im for you, he fits, he knows helach rucha. Rucha means that he understands the mahalach of your spirit. He feels inside of him, and he feels your ruach. There's such a dveikus, there's such an attachment between these friends. And it's especially hard to find a friend who's faithful to you, be'emes, through all of the different phases of life. And the faithfulness doesn't mean, like many people make a mistake like this, faithfulness doesn't mean that he always tells you what you want to hear. I don't think it's necessary to explain it. That's not what a good friend is. A good friend is somebody who understands and is prepared to help you, even if it hurts you. And that way of helping is not always pleasing to you. You'll find people that are always going to make you feel good and make you happy and say the right things and so on and so forth. But that there should be a chaver who has nehemonis, who you could trust. Trusting means that not just stam to play a game with me, but be'emes be'emes a chaver. In all the stages of life, in all the shlovim of life, when you see such a chava, when there's such a yedidus, a friendship, it's a very remarkable thing. It's very, very remarkable. And my father Zalgazon Zayin had a very, very dear friend that was nifted a few years ago. You know, they were together for over 70 years through many, many different things. And when he was nifted, and he was nifter, my father's a very strong person, Leinhard. And he was nifter, so I came back and I was sitting with my father. My father said, Eloshin, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like, and that's it. And once he's not here, it's like something, they were through so many things together, and they were such anemones to each other, they were so faithful to each other through the years, with disagreements. With caring and loving and disagreements. It's very hard to go on when a person loses such a chavet toiv. Ulam im ein zayis la'adam, and that's what Chazal said. Amru Chazal, oy misusa, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. That feeling that my father expressed of oy misusa, that it's hard to imagine going on without that person in your life. Chas v'shalom. Vim kein, ma takanosu shel adam zeh. What is the takana? Though? What happens to such a person? Yichyes kol chai b'tzur shel misusa. So what if that closest and dearest friend, your husband, a wife, a friend, what if that closest friend is no longer here? So Chazal said, "O misusa, the choice is death." So what does that mean? Can there be such a thing that a person should, God forbid, not have a cheshit to go on living? People have lost, feel that. But it can't be that that's the Ratz Nashat. Iyev Shaluchyas Kach. That the person feels, I can't go on living like this. I can't continue living. Ma takanasa shaladam zeh. So, what is the takana for such a person? How do we rescue such a person? How do you save a person like that? Reishis kvarkosavnu shiyispalo kach rabbeis v'liyisyayish afilo einir lo shetilosin es kabo. Of course, always the daven a lot. Even if you see in the beginning, notice the daven a lot that Hashem should help you through that time and should provide you with a chava. And even if you see that the tefillah is not accepted in the beginning, even if you feel initially that your tefillah, that your davening hasn't been accepted, you keep on davening, you daven, and you'll see, over time you'll see that the tefillah was accepted. But what about the time until you see it? You know that there's a famous bracha, there's a whole story about it, we don't have time, but there was a Yid that had a lot of tzaros, and he went to the Rishna. You know, it's a famous story. And he went to the Rishna, he was waiting for like a week to see the Rishna. And the Rishna had like a palace, and there was a whole thing there, people waiting. And this Yid finally got into the Rishna, and the Rishna told him, if he told him all of his problems, the Rishna told him that Eibush is all helpful, that Hashem should help you. So the man was taken out, the Shamus grabbed him and pulled him out. And he was very disappointed. You know, that's it. I'm waiting here for a week. But it's tzaddik, and he's going, you know, the standard line of Abish does all help him, that God should help you. So he was talking to the son of the Rishna, the Chartkiver, who was a little boy. The Chartkiver told him, go back in. You shouldn't settle for such a, don't settle for that. You have to go back in. So he gave him chizik, and the man waited again, how long, and he went in, and this time he was all ready and he was out again, like in 30 seconds he was out. So David Meshach, the Chartkiver, asked him, the Rishna's son asked him, what happened? He said, I told the Rabbi, I told your father that my tzars. Yeah, and what happened? So he said, the Eibishter will help him. He said that God should help. No, and then what did you say? So he said, I said, Rebbe, what am I going to do until the Eibishter helps me? So the Rebbe said to me, the Eibishter should help you until the Eibishter helps you. That's what he said. That Hashem Zohar should help you until Hashem Zohar helps you. And he said the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu in Parshas VaYishlach, Ki lo yazarcha, I'm not going to abandon you until I help you, it says in pasuk. Until I'm with you, I'm still with you. Until I'm with you, I'm going to help you. Until you see I'm helping you. But it's hard for a person. What does a person do during that time where he's waiting for the Baruch Shem to help him? So now listen carefully, because he himself writes how this is going to sound very odd to us. We consider ourselves very sophisticated, westernized people. And here's a truth that's coming to us from the simplest and deepest part of the Torah. And we're going to think it's very odd. And we're going to be talking about it for the next few weeks. And after you walk away from the beginning, you'll feel like, no, come on. We're expecting something very practical, and then, but what are you talking about? But this is the truth of the Torah, and we have to understand that is the reason why Hashem Yisbarach created us with a feeling of loneliness. Even when you have your best friend. So now you have your best friend, or you have your lifelong companion, your husband, your wife, it's Givaldi. Even so, everybody knows, even if you have a wonderful friend, a wonderful husband, a wonderful wife, it's a big schus, wonderful children, even if you're surrounded by loving and caring people, you still feel lonely at times. The Baruch Shalom made man in such a way. And even though it says, there's a certain aspect of man's loneliness that can't be solved with a friend or with a husband or a wife, a child. It can't be solved. And the Baruch Shalom made us that way. And it makes people crazy. It makes people crazy. Because people are doing all kinds of things not to be lonely. And they spend a lot of money, and they're up to all types of mischief not to be lonely. This sugya, you know, how we, really like 90% of the inyanim that I have to deal with are inyanim that have with husbands and wives and chaverim and friends and all of these inyanim. And the bottom line is that with everything there's a terrible emptiness. So the question that he's asking is, what do we do until the Baruch Shalom helps? Or what do we do until we see that help? It's the question of our lives. Our lives mamash depend on the answer. Because the Baruch Shalom made us in such a way that we're doomed to feel loneliness. Only a person who, God forbid, is so cold, a person who does not feel it, doesn't feel anything, chas v'shalom. That a person like that maybe doesn't feel... But when you look into the eyes, even if you see people who are not people who we would be afraid to talk to, be afraid to sit with, there's a very deep loneliness in the world b'chlal. And any time that you get a single individual person and you could talk to that person and look at the person in the eyes, you see that there's a very deep pain. Especially amongst those people that are the most antisocial. They're the ones who are the loneliest. Hatshuva l'kach. So he says the answer to this question of what's the takana? How do you help such a person? How do we help ourselves? Hatshuva l'kach u'soid gadol. The answer to this is a big mystery, a secret. L'mi shelo yada, to the one who doesn't know it. U'pashut ma'ayd ma'ay, but it's very obvious and very simple. L'mi shelo yada, to the one who knows it. To the one who's never tasted this, who's never thought about it, it's a very, very big mystery. And even after he says it, it'll be a mystery until we work on it a lot. To the one who knows this and who's experienced it, it's not a mystery at all. It's very, very personal. It's very simple. Hasayid ha-gadol hu, the big secret, the big mystery is, Shekadosh Baruch Hu hatzavta amiti b'yoyser, that Hashem Yisbarach is the truest companion. That the Baruch Shalom is the truest friend. Hatzavta amiti b'yoyser sheyoch liyos la'adam. When a person understands this truth, this secret, And when he tastes of it, sometimes you can't until everybody else in your life has disappeared, chas v'shalom. But when a person tastes of this truth, then there's no such thing as loneliness. And the whole reason that man was created with this feeling of loneliness that's not resolved even with a chaver, even with good friends, even with a good husband, a good marriage, a good wife, and everything else, is because there's a friendship that transcends all human relationships, and that's the friendship of the Rosh Hashanah. Ein zoyse merish lo tzarach klal rein v'yedidim. That doesn't mean that we don't need to have human friends. The Torah does not want that. Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem has tremendous nachas when you didn't have good friends and good marriages. The Rosh Hashanah has nachas from that. Ulam hayedid ha'amiti hu HaKadosh Baruch. But the truest friend is HaKadosh Baruch, is the Rosh Hashanah. Reacha v'reya avicha al tazayv. It says never ever, never abandon, never leave your friend and the friend of your father. So who is that? Reacha v'reya avicha al tazayv. Pirush Rashi. Who is this old friend of the family? Reacha, your friend. V'reya avicha, and the friend of your father. Pirush Rashi, Shireya Avicha Hu HaKadosh Baruch. It means HaKadosh Baruch, Hashem is Baruch. He's the only one who's your friend. He was your father's friend, your grandfather's friend, and great-grandfather's friend. He's the only one. And he's your children, and your grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, HaKadosh Baruch. Ve'acha v'reya avicha al tazayv. Don't let go of your friendship with that friend who is your greatest and truest friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lom is a soy gadol. So why it's such a big secret? What's the big secret? What's the mystery? Lom is a soy gadol. Ki nir lo la'odam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu melech gadol. It's exactly what every one of us is thinking right now. Because each and every one of us feels, and it seems to us, that Hashem is a big king or something or other, whatever he is, but he's something very frightening and distant. Melech Gadol, Shei Efshel Eskarev Elav, who's unapproachable. If any of us would try, if you would call the White House tomorrow morning, call the White House and say, you know, there's some things I'd like to speak to the President about. Could you ask him if it's all right? I'd like to stop by this afternoon. So probably within 10 minutes there'll be a helicopter hovering over your house because they already traced your call, and there'll be some Secret Service that will take you away to discuss your idea about meeting the President, right? And I know that when the children wrote to the President, I think they had some project from school, so he sent back some nice pictures of him and then himself with some of the hunts, with the dogs, right? The royal hound dogs of the White House. And it means there's somebody that has a job in the White House. Maybe it's even more than one. It could be a whole office in the White House, just to answer these things and to call and to send letters to children that the President wishes you well and so on and so forth. So our whole musik, and this is already a democracy. In other words, this is already a place. America is a gewaldige place. It means America, theoretically, if the president would be passing through the neighborhood, we'd be able to go and say hello and to shake his hand. And Igrati is a very friendly person. So we have no hasag of a king. We're very far. You see, a big problem that Tzadik can say that a big problem that we have with many of the Midrashim and Chazal and our relationship with Hashem is we don't know what a king is, because we didn't grow up, even if you're from England, I don't know how it is there now. The king, the royal family in England is the most dysfunctional family in the whole country. And we're not used to the whole Indian of royalty. We don't know how to relate to it anymore. Every medrash, every marshal, every chazal is marshal a melech, marshal a benel. We don't know what a melech is. What's a king? What's a queen? We don't know what that is. We don't have a saga. Even the world is still very, very fascinated by royalty. Very fascinated, getting sugar with that whole Indian. But we don't have a musa, we don't really understand. So the feeling that we have is one thing. Is that the Baruch Shalom is very, very, very far away. There's another verse from the Heilige Vishnu that I mentioned before, the Vishnu. You know, the there's a, in Marv, and also in Kriyas Shema Lamita, there's, you know, Hashkivenu. What do you say? Hashkivenu Malkeinu L'Shalom? What do you say? Hashkivenu Avinu L'Shalom? Some of you probably say Hashkivenu Malkeinu L'Shalom. Others say Hashkivenu Avinu L'Shalom. In the Ashkenaz Siddur, it's Malkeinu. In the Svadish and the Chassidish Siddurim is Avinu. And the Rishonim said, oh yeah, I'd much rather have my father put me to sleep than a king. That's what he said. He said, it's so good to have a Nusach Svad. Because it's Hashkivenu Avinu L'Shalom. That we ask our father, could you put us to sleep? He says, you have a father, a mother puts you to sleep, it's good. A king, we are pachad from the king. Hashkivenu Malkeinu L'Shalom. What does it mean for a king to put you to sleep? It sounds like euthanasia, right? Or an execution of some sort. But a father, a mother to put you to sleep is good. So we don't have a musag of a king. And we feel very far. Anything that we think about a king, it's something very far. Nobody's jealous of the king because it's so far from our hasagis. Nobody thinks about it. So it's a problem. So he says, a person thinks, there's a story, an amazing, amazing story. You know, all of Rabbi Nachman's stories are the mamakim of the amazing. So Rabbi Nachman has a story. Rabbi Nachman has a story about the Chacham and the Tam. If you have, Rabbi Nachman's stories are in English. Rabbi Kaplan wrote a whole commentary. The Chacham and the Tam means the clever man and the simple man. So, the whole story is half of it. But the one who was clever, and in Rabbi Nachman's writings, cleverness is not a compliment. To be clever. Intelligence, yes. Clever means achuchem. Achuchem in a tam. Achuchem means someone who thinks he knows everything, right? In Yiddish, achuchem. Not like in Hebrew, chacham. Achuchem. So what was the matter with this chuchem? It's a whole long story, but the chacham, the clever one, got a letter from the king for whatever reason. And the king said that I'm inviting you to the royal palace. I'd like to meet you. I heard you're very smart, and this, and I'd like you to come to the palace. Which is in a distant place, the palace, not where he lives, is far away. I'd like you to come to the capital, come to the palace. So the Chacham is a Chacham, and a Chacham has to think over everything 1,000 times, right? You know, that's not a Chacham, it's a Chucham. You have some people, when they go on a trip, they have to have 14 maps, 25 navigators, they have to plan out every red light and every green light. It's a Chacham, right? It's very hard to live with such a Chucham. You know what I'm talking about. A Chucham. And he knows how, and he knows that, and he always has the, he knows that. So the Chacham starts to think. He's always clearing. He's always making a cheshbon. And after a tremendous amount of thinking and philosophizing, he was a very, very brilliant person, he came to the conclusion that it can't be that the king would want to see him. Why should the king want to see him? And he begins to speak to different people, and the man who brought the letter from the king, he asked the man who brought the letter, tell me something, did you get this letter from the king? So the guy says, no, I didn't get it from, I got it from somebody, you know, somebody else. That's my job. I just run the horse and I didn't get it from the king. I'm in the post office. I got it. So he says, where do you live? He says, I live in the capital. That's where the king lives. He says, yeah. Did you ever see the king? So he says, no, I never saw the king, but the king's there. You never saw the king. So the Chacham starts to think, and he comes to the conclusion that the king doesn't exist. The king doesn't exist. And to prove it, they go out for a ride, and they meet one of the royal soldiers, and they ask the soldier, tell me, who do you work for? He says, the king. He says, do you ever meet the king? He says, no, I never met the king. So he says, you see, I told you, there's no king. There's all Stambul Mises. A king. Of course, on the other end of the world, the Tom, the simple one, who they were friends when they were children, the simple Jew, who's a big Erlich Yid, the simple one, so he gets a letter, he says, wow, he tells his wife, can you believe this? Terrific. And he heads straight for the palace, and what happens within the palace loves him because he's so simple and honest, and he promotes him, he becomes a big, big, big person, a big minister in the whole government, and in the end, the Chacham has to come to him, that he should save him, and it's all nice. So if you think a lot, and you're a Chacham, so it's like there can't be a king. So you come to the conclusion that I never saw the king. If I can't come to the king, you start to wonder. The king doesn't have any friends. You can't have a, I can't I can't have a yedidus. I can't have a friendship with a Baruch Shlomo, who's such a king. Melech Sheshoich El Sham Bel Yoinim. This king doesn't even live in the world. Doesn't seem to me that he lives in the world. He lives someplace Bel Yoinim with Malachim somewhere. I know they tell me he's everywhere, you know, here, there, everywhere, to the famous Uncle Moshe, and everybody knows that the Baruch Shlomo is everywhere. But I don't know. I never saw him. I believe in it. I guess he's here. There are many things that I thought he would be, and he's not, and I don't know where, what. So how do you become friends with somebody like that? It's very hard to be a friend like that. Imagine if you have a friend that you never met, your best friend that you never saw, your best friend you never spoke to. Your best friend, they said, who's your best friend? It's like when a child says, my best friend, they say some sort of, some like imaginary thing, like, who's your best friend? You know, Yankel. You say, well, who's Yankel? Yankel, it's right next to me, you know, okay. How are you, Yankel? You know, and there's no Yankel that you could see. It's a very uncomfortable thing. I remember that many years ago, when I was, there's a friend of mine, his family is in the nursing home business, and I went there a few times to help, and there was a payphone in the hall, and there was this old lady she had demyonis that her son Nebuch was calling her. She didn't have anybody calling her. The phone didn't ring, I think, but she would like to always go there, and she would ask me, the other one, to take her to the phone, and she would pick up the phone and she'd start talking to her son. So, it's Rachmanis, you know. Then she gave me the phone to hang up. So I thought I would make her feel happy. So I said, hi, how are you? I got on the phone also to talk to her. There's no one there, but I got on the phone to talk to her son. So she says to me, Mr. Michigan? She says to me, are you crazy? So I said, I don't know. I said to my friend, I'm trying to go along with this. You know, I'm trying to make her happy. But you know, there's nobody on the other line. But the way she understood it is that the son only talks to her. The son doesn't talk to anybody else. So she thought I was crazy for trying to talk to the son. So how do you have a friendship with the Baruch Shalom? It's a good question. To be not only a friendship, but such a friend that it's not possible, the emes, to ever be lonely for a second in your life. If you take him in as your friend. Because he never goes anywhere. And he's never unfaithful. He tells you a lot of things you don't like to hear. But he's never, never unfaithful. He understands you. He knows everything you've been through, even the things that you're afraid to tell anybody else, even the things you're afraid to tell yourself. But you never met him. That's the problem. And not only that, you're not going to meet him. I mean, a person thinks after 120, like Naftali Rapshitz always has such a tremendous tshuki, he wanted so barely to see what it's like in Olam Haba. He's always crying and davening to see. So finally the Baruch Shem told him in a dream, Naftali, you're interested in Olam Haba. So he says, yeah. So he says, if you want, you can come tonight. So he says, how? So then he looked Naftali Rapshitz and he saw the Malach HaMavis standing, the angel of death. So then Naftali said, that's all right, I'll wait till I find out. I'll see what it's like later on. I don't have to go right now. So you're not going to see it. You don't see it. If I can't go to him and I can't be with him, then how am I a friend with him? How do you create a kesher, a bond, a friendship, a yedid, that you'll never see your whole life? So these are the thoughts of the Chacham. These are the wise person, the clever person's thoughts. The clever person's thoughts. Machshavas Eilu. These thoughts, hey Machshavas Kimat Kol Adam Shinoilidim Azgaba Chayshav Kach. These are the thoughts that just about any person who's grown up in the world thinks. Little children have no problem with Hashem being a good friend. People who are not mentally stable. Also. We have a big tzaddikus in our community who has conversations with the Baruch Shalom. My wife's sitting here, she knows that she's a big tzaddik. She's a Baal Shuv for many years. She was a professor of English, a very, very choshev lady we love. She's like one of our family. And she'll say things to, not just to me, it's one thing she says to me or to the inner circle. She'll say things to people. Someone will ask her something, and she'll say 1 minute, and she'll go to the room, she'll come back, and she said that she spoke to Hashem, and Hashem's Baruch told her the following. I just had a conversation with somebody today who asked me, is everything okay with this person? Because he didn't know that she says things like that. And there's this Talmud Chacham who I was talking to today said that they had over for Shabbos, and there was something that she said that she spoke to Hashem about, and Hashem told her something. So he was a little bit nervous whether she's stable. And we spoke today, and I reassured him that she's much, much more stable and healthy than all of us. She's, Baruch Hashem, 100% well. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean? So some of the children from the community are thrilled with those things and laugh, you know, when she says it. My own children included, like every time that she leaves. So the kids, like, they can't believe it. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's so pashut there. And that she speaks to Hashem, so everybody says b'seder. But what does that mean that Hashem has both told her? And she's the humblest person. There are no delusions of grandeur. We're not talking about that she thinks that she's worthy for prophecy. She's the humblest soul on earth. She's a very bright person. And anything you tell her, she says, oh, thank you so much. I never knew that. She's so humble. The Baruch Shalom is her best friend. She has entries into her diary and conversations and back and forth. And she's not crazy at all. But you think that if someone tells you this, you'd say that Nabuk is something not wrong. Because the people that we know in life that we've met that have these kind of conversations or imagine these things, we smile and we say that's very, very nice, and you know, I have a good doctor, maybe you'd like to give a call. That's as we get older. Children, in other words, have no problem, little children. And there are certain people like this woman who have no problem with it. But generally, as we grow up and we mature, a mature, intelligent chacham feels this way, that it's not possible. Elim kein mishul gilalai shemachshavas elohim tos neiroa b'chayim he tos shemabedis mea adam es kol tachlisa b'chayim. What he says now, the tzaddik, is unless somebody comes and tells this person, meaning this, tells the skeptic, me and you, tells the skeptic, that unless you understand this secret, this mystery of being a friend of Hashem Yisbarach, not only are you missing out on something very special, a special friend, but you're missing out on the whole tachlis of life. If we can't understand this woman in my community, if we can't understand such a possibility, if we can't understand that, so what he's saying is, in a person who's healthy and well, I'm not talking about God forbid someone who's deranged, but a person who's healthy and well, if we can't understand that, so not only are we making a terrible mistake in thinking that you can't be friends with Hashem because I can't see him, I can't talk to him, I'll never meet him, not only are you making a mistake, but it's a very, very terrible mistake. It's a mistake that causes a person to miss out on the whole tachlis of his life. Because the whole tachlis of life is to establish this connection to the Baruch Shem. That's why he brought us here. It's not an extra special super duper deluxe bonus for the Gadol Hador. It's not the Chavetz Chaim's only, it's not just the Chavetz Chaim's business. It's the tachlis of life. Hatachlis shel ha'adam the tachlis of life is to be carved to Hashem as well. Is to be close to the Baruch Shalom. Carve ma'oid. Very close. Lias yedid Hashem. To be a yedid. A dear friend. Lahagish es ha'avhus shaboy. To feel avhus, his fatherliness. I don't think there's any word like that in English. But that avhus, his fatherliness. Lahargish es ahavosai elai. To feel how much he loves me. Me'ein b'chinah shel ani v'at an entirely began Eden. Like the Baruch Shalom said, he made an offer once to a person who was not a good person. He made an offer to Yeravam, who was, as you know, a very, very big Russia, a king, and that we don't understand what it means, those people in those generations. But it was a king that we know from Navi that he was a terrible Russia. And the Baruch Shalom said to him, Aniva Ata, the Tal Beganeid, and he says, come back to me. The Baruch Shalom said, I'll go with you, Aniva Ata, me and you, Netayel Began Eden. I want to go, we'll go for a spatzir, a walk together, me and you, in Gan Eden. The Baruch Shalom said to a Russia Marusha, to a wicked person. But the Baruch Shalom told him, come back to me, Aniva Ata. You remember what he said? He didn't just say, he said, Aniva Ata, and what else? Uben Yishai. You remember? He said, I, with you, and one other person, we're going to go together. Ben Yishai, who's that? David HaMelech. So you remember what Yeravim said? Mi Bereish. He asked, who's ahead? You know, who's closer to you? And that was the end of it. Mi Bereish. That question, Mi Bereish. Who's the big knocker over there in Gan Eden? Me or Ben Yishai? And that messed everything up. But the Baruch Shalom said such a thing. Aniva Ata. Netayel Ben Gan Eden. Now, if he made it to Yeravim ben Nevat, who, as you know, filled the whole Eretz Yisrael with Avodah Zarah, you don't think that he's making such an offer to each and every one of us who are good people, we try our best to be good Jews. Aniv Aten et Hayil de Gan Eden, me and you, together in Gan Eden. And he puts in parentheses, of course, Ein Tzeis Aliyah Kiyesh B'chinas Shagila Barad. This does not contradict the requirement that we feel also a sense of fear and awe. That's a very big subject in the Sefer. We're not going to get to it now. It's not a contradiction, as it says in the Pasuk, Gilu Bira'adam, means rejoice in trembling. There is love and rejoicing that can be simultaneously with the feeling of awe and trembling. It's not a contradiction, but that's not for now. Hashem hu yidid l'kol davar. Ein yidid k'maisa ba'ilam. He's a friend always. There's no yidid. There's no friend like that in the world. Af yidid le'yochli as karv l'adam. There is no friend in the world that can be as close to a person. K'may ha'yidid ha'shalem ha'kadosh baruch. Like the perfect friend. Ha'yidid ha'shalem ha'kadosh baruch. So, when we hear these words, so he says, Mishal ezorcha l'kach. Any person who is not zeichet to feel this, anyone who is not zeichet to feel this, near lay melitza. It seems like I'm telling you like something like melitza. It means melitza, like a nice thing, a nice vart, like a nice vart, melitza, an expression, something cute. Dvarim yofim, b'seichel, something nice. It's interesting, b'seichel. No, it's a nice idea. It's a thing to be best friends with the Baruch Shem. It's a nice idea. Shein lam shum kiyum ba'ilam ha'machashi. But they have no bearing and no kiyum. A thought, an idea, a theory that can't possibly be sustained in the concrete real world. Ba'ilam ha'rikshais. In the world of emotions, of feelings, in this world. That we feel, that we sense. Veneer light, and it seems therefore to the person, while we're reading this and while we're hearing this, it seems, Shemisha Choshev Medabekein, that anybody who thinks this way or says these things, who Baal Dimyonis, it's like the lady in my neighborhood, Baal Dimyonis, delusionary. Dimyonis. Anybody that sits on the F train, the E train, or the A train for more than 10 minutes is bound to meet somebody who's talking to God. What I say is at the Yozel, something, right? 10-15 minutes at tops on the train. I mean, it haven't been many years, Baruch Hashem, than that. But even when things were more normal, you didn't go too long with somebody like that, without hearing from somebody like that. So you think, now, but it's about Dimyonis. The person's about Dimyonis. Imagination. It seems to him as if he feels this friendship. It seems to him as if there's some reciprocity. There's some friend who's reciprocating, that perceives, has a relationship. And you hear a person saying these things, they're reading this, he'd say it's a dimyon. It's imagination. Because if you haven't felt this, then you're certain that you can't feel HaKadosh Baruch. You can't feel such a thing. But Rabbi says, you know, without feeling this, every time you're davening, you have to push yourself. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's not so easy. Every mitzvah you have to push yourself. Not to do an aveir, it's like a hassle. It's a hassle. So I was talking about on Shabbos, you can have all the guys and the boys and the bach, and they're learning in the yeshivas, all these different difficult concepts in Torah and halacha, but it's so hard to get to shul, to get up 5 minutes earlier. 5 minutes, 2 minutes earlier. I invite any of you to come here tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Don't worry, there won't be a mixture of men and women. Except for me. At 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Davening starts at 8. That means it's supposed to be Hashem Nosson Sechel Yin Lahav from Yom Yom, it's supposed to be 8 o'clock. It's so hard. But if your best friend who you adored was waiting for you, like it says in the Gemara, the Baruch Shalom says, Bas Yivei Nish, right? The Baruch Shalom is very upset when he comes to shul, no one's here. Because the Baruch Shalom has the schedule of every shul in the world. You see, they can even have that on the computer. It's no big deal for the Baruch Shalom. He has every shul in the world. So it says, this shul has an 8 o'clock minyan. It means the Baruch Shalom comes early to put on talis and tefillin, a little bit early, and to say some nice things about Jews. And it says in the Gemara, Bas Yivein, brings the Pasuk, Bas Yivein, Ish Karas Yivein, I came and there's not one person here. That's a chavah, that's a friend. If your friend would stand you up for 2 minutes, your best friend, and it was a chosh of a thing, and your friend would stand you up, you'd be so hurt. And the Baruch Shalom says, Basi ve'ein ish, karasi ve'ein oine. I came, there's no one here, I'm calling out to you, I don't see anybody. Basi ve'ein ish, it says that when the Baruch Shalom comes, it's the time for davening, and they're not in shul, then the Baruch Shalom kivyochel is so angry. He's kivyochel, we only use these words, we're borrowing human words, but it's an insult, it's hurtful. So you can't get yourself for your best friend. Any one of these guys, if his friend calls him from Poughkeepsie, have a flat tire, zoom, he'll be there in a second. That's for a boy. For a kala, for a girl, I'm talking about before the chasm. Not a minute, 30 seconds. But to get himself to shul, no. To get to this, and every time the nesiyonis and aveiros, all of our avodas Hashem is missing this element of friendship. Of Yedidus, of Ahava. Akadekach, it sounds strange to people. It sounds strange. And you could be, I'm guaranteeing you 1,000%, it's not like the fellows in yeshiva are hearing the shmuz neither. They're not hearing this in yeshiva. They should be, but they're not. And because of that, everything becomes hard. It's not, you don't have a shaykhist on. You don't have a kesher with him. You force yourself to say some words, the same words I said yes, the same words tomorrow. I'd rather not be here. Learning, they try, because learning is interesting and Jews are smart, so maybe you can get something with the learning accomplished, because they like to hear good things. But the Rabbi Shlomo. So it seems that someone that speaks this way, the truth is, it's the most wondrous friendship. Look at the poems of Rabbi Yehuda Levi. You know the Ramchal wrote a play. You know the Ramchal, Masil Sashar? Derech Hashem, the Ramchal is one of the greatest of our tzaddikim, Ramah Kubalim. He wrote a romantic play. It would never, ever make it into our neighborhood. Ever. Any of our neighborhoods. It was only a marshal of the Baruch Shalom and Klal Yisrael. He was lovesick for Hashem, the Ramchal. Lovesick. And the strongest marshal of that is Shir Shir. Is a husband, a chasna kal. So the Ramchal wrote a romantic drama. And you know, that got tzaddikim in the generation. He was mechayim. It was a whole thing. That's one of the reasons why he was mechayim. The other reasons. But he wrote such things. You read... Rav Kook was from our life, from this past generation. Rav Kook's poems, the Chazanish's poems, the poetry of the Chazanish of the Tzaddikim. I read someplace, the other day, I read in this book that he quoted. I don't remember who he was quoting from. It wasn't from one of our. From a great poet. That there was a young person who came to this great poet and they asked the great poet, he said, do you think that I should, I'm ready to write poems of my own? So the poet answered, only when you feel that you can't live without writing that poem, that's when you're ready to write the poem. When you feel you can't live without writing the poem, that's the time to write the poem. But that's what it means, that kind of friendship, that we're not, that you see that the way that Tzaddikim wrote about the Rabbeinu Shlomo. You look in the Tefillos, you look in Tehillim. The Yedidus Neira, it's a wondrous, awesome friendship. The Yedidus Kolkach Amuke, it's so deep. She'ein la ach v'reya, Ba'ilam HaZeh, there's nothing to compare to it in this world. Adam Shechash HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Libay, a person who is able to feel the Baruch Shalom in his heart, which is the tachas of our lives, it's not an extra bonus. Who Atuf Kuloi Ahavim Yashem, he's wrapped completely in the Baruch Shalom's love. He, like the Rambam, right? The Rambam, we always think of the Rambam as being such a cold, God forbid, a cold intellectual. The Rambam spoke about being Meshuggah with Hashem Yisbarach. He used the mashal about a person who's lovesick for a woman. He can't sleep, he can't eat. That's what the Rambam wrote. He says he becomes totally atuf kulay, totally enwrapped in that ahava. Who ha'ilechem ha'kadosh baruch hu b'chol mokim, wherever he goes, the Baruch Shalom is with him. B'chol mokim, wherever he is, the Baruch Shalom is there with him. B'chol mokim shu nimsa, wherever he is in life, u'magish b'muchash, he feels mamish. He feels what? Ha'kadosh baruch hu imayim le'chalotz kevoidai. Adam chayev lahavim, let's just finish this little paragraph. Adam chayev lahavim. A person has to understand. Until you've come to have the Baruch Shalom as your friend, then there's death. In this world, the death of loneliness is unbearable. That feeling of loneliness is unbearable. There's misusa. There's a world that's filled with misery and death. I feel him yile is kol atay shvayilam kol makol bekol mikol kol. Even if you have everything good in the world, bekol mikol kol, everything good. Chosel yase ikke. You're missing the ikke, the main thing. As a yedidus shleim in a bari, the friendship of the Baruch Shalom. As a yedidus ahamitis, which is the true yedidus, which is the yedidus forever and ever and ever. A person can live with some sparks of love, a little bit, a spark. Sometimes we feel that. And even if we feel sometimes, but we don't know what does it mean to live with it every minute of the day. To live in a world of ahava, of love. To live one's life entirely in a world of ahava. Chaim she'en rega shel bedidus, a life for that one moment of loneliness. Tomid yeshutuf v'shutuf amiti HaKadosh Baruch. Every single second, you have a true shutuf, a true partner, HaKadosh Baruch. Mishu yamen ledevar, a person who believes this, v'yachlit and decides, shegam hu writes a luchyas b'olam ahavazu, that he also wants to live in such a world of ahava. It's possible for such a person, if you really want it and you decide to go after it, it's possible to be kind to acquire such a world, to live in such a world. That's how the tzaddikim live. Baruch Hashem, Be'ez Hashem, Nishtadal Levaya Ketzed Nechnosem La'ilam Ahavazah. Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to try to explain how is it possible to enter into such a world of ahava. How does one get a ticket into such a world of ahava? How does one find his way into such a place of ahava? When you hear the stories of the tzaddikim, which we'll talk, we'll have more stories late now, the stories of the baditshva, and how they were after they went through tzaras, or they lost, God forbid, lo alein, they lost a child, a wife, and different yisurim, and how they survived, and the yedidus that they had, and how they spoke to the Baruch Shalom in their lives, that the way that they had an ongoing conversation, which I spoke about many times, that we heard more from the older generation, our parents and grandparents, those who were zeichet to have grandparents, that there was a certain way of feeling the Baruch Shalom's presence, of how they had a friendship, a yedidus, arguments too. Arguments, but there was always, the Baruch Shalom was always part of their lives. It wasn't just a subject in life. by the parents, by the grandparents, they had this inyan with the Rabbi Shalom. There's an inyan. And even when they're angry, I once told you there was an aunt of mine, she actually passed away. So she was not, after the Milchama, after the war, she wasn't observant of mitzvahs at all. She wasn't observant of mitzvahs at all. And I once told my father warned me never to discuss religion with her. So I was a big kanoi. And my father said, don't talk to your aunt. It's an Eretz Yisrael, so the times that we went to my father said, don't talk to her about anything with religion. Just leave her alone. And I generally followed that, as I generally followed what my father told me. Generally, there are some exceptions there. But generally, I listened. But one time, I we were just sitting there, and I loved her very much. She was completely untormented. She was Nevelis and Treifus, Mamish. From the same Munkash that her mother came from, but Nevelis and Treifus. My mother told me she wasn't really from before the war either. She went where she was from, but she wasn't really from. She used to say things to the sisters, you know, that were off. But after Milchama, there was no reason anymore to keep up the, you know, the parents weren't alive anymore. She kept it to make the parents happy. So after the Milchama, that was it. So one time I started in with her, talking about Yiddishka. And she was getting very upset with me, and she was telling me this, all kinds of, you know, kfiris, don't tell me anything, don't tell me the Baruch Shem, yeah, I know, and Auschwitz, and all the things. And then I asked her, we called her, I don't say her name, I asked her, do you fast on Yom Kippur? She says, what's your business? I said, why can't you answer the question? I asked, you're talking about Yiddishkeit, why can't you answer me if you fast on Yom Kippur? And she started to cry, and she carried on, and she said, it's none of your business, and you're nobody, you don't know anything, and she left the room. And then I got very scared that she was going to tell my parents, you know. I was very scared about the whole thing, because I saw that I got her, I should have stopped it. I don't know what I made a whole mess. And then, sure enough, you know, my father, later on, you know, I got the, says, what did you do? I said, I just asked her a question. What did you ask the question? I asked her if she fasted on Yom Kippur. So my father said, I said the same thing, what do you know? You don't know anything. And my father said, she fasted on Yom Kippur. So I said, I thought that she did. So that's what bothers me. Then how come she doesn't keep Shabbos? How come she doesn't eat kosher? My father said, you know, I told you, and you know, he had a whole talk with me about whatever they went through. My father said, you leave her alone and don't talk. You don't know what it means to be a mammon. You don't have any emunah. You don't know anything. My father told me what it means to be a mammon. And what my aunt couldn't answer was, the answer was not, I don't believe in God. The answer is, I'm having a rocky relationship with him. You don't burst out in tears and start screaming and crying because you don't care or he doesn't exist, right? It's because my friendship, I went through something in our friendship that I thought we had some sort of a friendship. And I felt that my trust was broken. And I'm angry. Most of those Jews, it's not for lack of faith that they don't keep mitzvahs. It's because they believed so much. I don't know about my aunt's particular case, but there was so much belief, and the disappointment and the letdown is unbearable. And the friendship. But to understand what does it mean to enter into that world of that Yedidus. So we'll continue Be'ez Hashem next time. Shkai.